Okay, we begin here on the top of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph from the first line. Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Amar Rabbi, Ochel Shlishi Shel Truma. Someone who eats something that is a Shlishi Shel Truma Atzma, meaning that it's not Truma, that was not Kulin Shnasua Tarata Truma, but Truma itself. Asur Lechol, he cannot eat, Umutar Liga, but he is Mutar to touch. Ve'itzrich to Ula, Ve'itzrich to Rabbi Yonatan. We need both the statement of Ula and the statement of Rabbi Yonatan. Ula's statement was yesterday, Amar Ula, Okel Shlishi Shechulin, Shenasu Atarata Truma. If you get a third level of Tuma, when you're dealing with Chulin that was made with Tarata Truma, Nifsal Gufo Melecho B'Truma. His goof is then Pasu, and he may not eat Truma, which is exactly what's being said here by Rabbi Yonatan, except Rabbi Yonatan is saying it in the structure of Truma itself. That if you eat a third level of Tuma, you cannot eat Truma, but you can touch. The reason you can touch is very straightforward. There's no rivi'i letuma betruma. So touching the truma has no impact when you're a shlishi. Nevertheless, there's still a restriction in terms of eating truma in those cases. So then the Gemara says, ve'itzrich ula, ve'itzrich Rabbi Yonatan. We need both of these statements. Di'im ula, have we just had the statement of ula, which is made about chulin, shenasu tarata truma, havamina. I would have thought, hani mili bichulin, Shinasu Altarat Shuma, that his statement, which is made about Chulin, that is done Altarat Shuma, that's where we say you cannot consume Truma anymore. Aval Truma, but when it comes to Truma itself, had you ingested a third level of Truma, then you would not only be Asur Ba'achila, you'd also be Asur Benigia, Benigia Nami Asur. Tosafot already asks, what do you mean? If you're Asur Benigia, that means that there's a Revi'i L'Truma, which we never find. He says, no, we wouldn't institute a revi'i L'Truma, but rather, Havamina Asur Liga, D'Gazrinan Shlovia V'Olecho. You can't touch Truma, not because you're going to make it into a revi'i L'Truma. We don't let you touch it because you might come to eat it. So we might have made a stronger restriction with regards to Truma itself. So Ula, who spoke about Chulin, Shanasua, Tarata Truma, we'd have thought his din is applicable there because that's a lighter form of tahara, because that's chulin shenasua tarata truma. So over there, the restriction is simply that you can't eat truma, but touching truma, that's fine. But when you get to something much more strict, when we're dealing with truma itself, so Rabbi Yonatan would say if you eat a shlishi in truma itself, not only would it make you pasul to eat truma, you also would not be allowed to touch truma at all. It's strict with the Rabbi Yonatan. That's why we need Rabbi Yonatan's din to tell us the din is the same by truma, a third level of truma. If you ingest it, then you're a sort to eat truma, but you're not a sort to touch truma. Ve'imi de Rabbi Yonatan, if you only had Rabbi Yonatan, havamina hani milei truma, that only when you ingest a third level of truma with truma, are you then a sort to eat truma, and then touching it would be fine. Aval chulin, when you're dealing with chulin, shenasu altarat truma, afichila namishari. Even eating would be fine. It's not really a level of tuma. It's something that we keep a shlishi in chulin shenasu atarata tuma. But once you've gotten to that level and you ingest it, maybe it should have no impact whatsoever. And therefore, you could even eat tuma. Tzrichei, that's why we need both of them. We need Ula's statement and Rabbi Yonatan's statement, even though they seem identical, because they're both saying that if you ingest something that's a shlishi the tuma, you cannot eat tuma, but you can't touch the tuma. One of them said it with regards to Truma, and one of them said it with regards to Chulin, Shnasu Atarat Truma. We would have thought, why do you need both statements? The Gemara explained to us that you would have had a Havamina, that whichever statement was made, that the other one would have been different had it not been stated explicitly. So now, Yativ Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, Kamei de Rav Nachman. He was sitting in front of Nachman, Yativ Vika Amar. And then he brings the following. Ha'uchel Shlishi Shel Chulin. Shenasu altarata kodesh. Someone who eats a third level of tum'ah when it's chulin, shenasu altarata kodesh, tahor lechol b'kodesh. He can eat kodesh. She'en lecha davar, she'oseh revi'i b'kodesh, ele kodesh mikudash bilvad. The only thing that makes a fourth level in kodesh is something that is inherently kadosh, something that has kedushat haguf. So now we have here a statement that indicates one of two possibilities. We'll see in a second as Machloket Tosafot and the Ramban has how to explain this. But here you have someone who's eating a third level tuma, but it's in the world of Chulin Shenasu Atarata Kodesh. And we're saying here that does not prevent you from eating Kodesh. So as opposed to Truma, where if you eat third level Truma and even third level of chulin shenasua tarat truma, it prevents you from eating truma. Here, when you eat third level truma in chulin shenasua tarat kodesh, does not prevent you from eating kodesh. The reason being that a revi of the truma only exists in the world of kodesh. That fourth level is only relevant in the world of kodesh. And if you ingested a shlishi, at most you are a shlishi the kodesh, and a shlishi cannot create a revi'i except in the world of kodesh. That's the way that the statement reads, and that's how the Balei Tosafot explain it. Rashi over here says something similar. Rashi says over here, the high shlishi, avid revi'i bekodesh, ma'alehi derabanan. The fact that shlishi makes a fourth level tuma in kodesh itself is only a din derabanan. It's a maitla derabanan, that the rabbanan extended kodesh to a fourth level of tuma. It's not something that is din deoraita. And Rashi says, de'afagav de'matilinan la b'kal v'chomer michuser kippurim, and even though it's learned from a kal v'chomer, from michuser kippurim, lav kal v'chomer deoraita, it's not a kal v'chomer deoraita. So therefore, since the level 4 of kodesh within the world of kodesh is only a din derabonon, they only instituted it in real kodesh. They didn't institute it in Kulin Shinasu Altarata Kodesh. It doesn't exist there. And that means that the only way you can have something become a Revi'i is if it's Kodesh Mikudash Bilvad. As Rashi explains over here, Kodesh Mikudash Bilvad means a Korban that has been shechted, the same Korban. It's something that's now imbued with that Kedusha, not just, as Rashi says, Bikudushata Peh, not just by declaring it a Korban, not just by making it kodesh, but you actually processed it as something that is kadosh. That's the only thing that has the revi'i le tum'ah. That's the world in which shlishi and revi'i exist, because that's where the chachamim instituted this maila. And the only way they instituted the maila is when you're in that world. But if you're eating third level tum'ah of chulin shenasu tarat kodesh, that's not going to precipitate a fourth level of tum'ah in kodesh. And therefore, you're not going to be pasul from eating kodesh, because that's not where they instituted it, and that's not where the whole maila exists. The Balei Tosafot argue on one of these points of Rashi, and then the Ramban argues on two of these points. The first thing the Balei Tosafot say is, Mashi perish bekuntris, de revi bekodesh, maila derabonanhi. The fact that Rashi says that this whole idea of revi bekodesh is a din derabonan, the Balei Tosafot say, not at all. Revi'i b'kodesh is also de'oraita. It's also min ha-Torah. And there are many times in Shas which seem to indicate along the lines of Rashi, where it calls it a ma'ila v'alma, or it says certain things that seem to indicate that it's only a din derabonan. The Balei Tosafot go through each one of them and show that there are other things there that were called a ma'ila. That doesn't mean a ma'ila derabonan. It just means a higher level. That a higher level of expectation in that area doesn't mean that it's a ma'ila derabonan. It says there it's a ma'ila. Maila doesn't mean necessarily maila derabanan. Maila could just mean that there's a higher level of tuma in that area. And so he goes through each of those and dispenses with them. And therefore he believes, as well as many of the other Rishonim, that Revi and Kodesh is a din d'oraita, not a din derabanan. So they disagree fundamentally about Rashi's reasoning over here that it's a maila derabanan. And because it's a maila derabanan, they were not metakin over here. No, it's a din d'oraita. And despite the fact that it's a din d'oraita, it only has application in this area. Now, in terms of what the meaning is, Tosafot over here then says, "Kamo she'eno oseh revi'i," that person who eats a shlishi in chulin shenasu hadarat kodesh, the reason he can eat kodesh is because just like he doesn't make a revi'i in chulin shenasu hadarat kodesh, so too he's not going to impact on kodesh. And rebukta nakat da'achochel chamor mimaga. And the chiddush over here is that even when you ingest it, where generally we say eating is more chamur, both when you ingest it or you're going to eat something. Like before, what we saw with regards to truma, that someone who eats a third level of truma, even though that truma, if it touched other truma, would not make it tameh, because there's no revi'i, nevertheless you're not allowed to eat truma once you've consumed it. So you would have thought here maybe too, the fact that you consume chulin shenasu throughout the kodesh third level truma, that should then disqualify you from eating kodesh. That's the chiddush. No, it doesn't disqualify you. Just like nigia, the third level, there is no such thing as a fourth level of tuma over here by chulin shenasu tarat kodesh. So too, when you consume that third level of Tumah, it does not affect you with regards to Kodesh. So now, whereas before we had even discussed the question as to whether a Shlishi exists in Chulin Shnasu Atarata Kodesh, over here the question is there a V'i? And we'll see on the second half of today's daf that there's actually Machloket Tanaim as to whether there is a V'i or not a V'i in Chulin Shnasu Atarata Kodesh. But now we've introduced an opinion that says that there are three levels of Tumah by Chulin Shnasu Atarata Kodesh. There's just no fourth level of Tumah. And similar to the fact that there's no fourth level of Tumah, when you ingest a Chulin Shnasu Atarata Kodesh, third level Tumah, you're not stopped from eating Kodesh. You can eat Kodesh, just like when you touch something, it won't have any impact. So too, when you go to eat it, it won't be problematic. Vim Tomar. So then Tosafot says, Linyan Mai Havi Shlishi. Then what's the impact of it being a Shlishi the Tumah? Shlishi the Tumah is only impactful if there's some meaning to it being a third level Tumah. You're telling me here now, if it's a Shlishi, it can't make a Revi'i. So then it has no meaning in terms of passing on Tumah. If it's Nagava Kodesh, it has no impact. You're also telling me that if you eat it, it doesn't affect you from eating Kodesh. So there's no meaning to the Shlishi, the Tumah, in Kulin Shnasu Torata Kodesh. Nothing is impactful here. So he says, V'nira de Nafkamino. The Nafkamino is like what Rashi said over here, when you're dealing with real Kodesh. So there, if you're dealing with something not that is Kodesh that you're eating, not something where it's Kedushat HaPeh, but something that is shechted now and has inherent Kedusha in it, so there's a Shlishi. So in the Hashtal Inyan Zeh, Yesh Ben Shlishi, the Shu Ben Shochatim Aleim HaZevach, Ben Mekadshim and Achot Bekli, Tu Lo Chazu the Kedusha Duguf. He says that this is what it has a third level of Tumah for, that we don't shecht on it a Zevach, and that we won't. If you have this level of Tumah, we won't allow you to shecht the Korban with that level of Tumah. It's Chulin Shnasu Atarata Kodesh. This has a third level of Tumah in it. We won't let you shecht it to bring it into the real world of Kodesh. And you can't be Mekadesh Mincha that has a third level of Tumah of Chulin Shnasu Atarata Kodesh. Tulo Chazu the Kedushat HaGuf. Because they don't allow for Kedushat HaGuf. So Tosafot comes up with a situation in which he thinks there's a nafkamina for Shlishi LeTumah in Chulin Shnasu Atarata Kodesh. And in that way, he agrees with Rashi that there is a level of Shlishi over here. So therefore, the Baalei Tosafot and Rashi believe over here that there is a level Shlishi in Chulin Shnasu Atarata Kodesh. There just is no Revi'i. Okay, now that there's no Revi'i, why does it matter that there's a Shlishi? So we said here, the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Martel is that if you eat it, it makes no difference. You can eat Kodesh afterwards, it makes no difference. It doesn't make a Revi'i, so Negiah doesn't make a difference. The only place that has a nafkamina is where you're trying to make it into Kodesh itself. You're trying to make it inherently Kadosh, trying to shecht it for a Korban, you're trying to put a Mincha into a Kli like that. Those will have impact because that's real, full-fledged Kedusha, and that you can't have this Chulin Shnasu throughout the Kodesh, that's a Shlishi. That's the view of Rashi Tosafot. Again, Rashi Tosafot argue whether this is a Din De'oraita in Kodesh of Revi'i or a Din De'rabonon, but they agree with Chulin Shnasu throughout the Kodesh that here you do believe that there is a Shlishi of Chulin Shnasu throughout the Kodesh, just it can't make a Revi'i. Now, the Ramban, the Rashbo, and others believe that there's not even a Shlishi. That they say over here, when it says here, Shlishi, Hel Chulin Shnasu Atarata Kodesh, it's nothing. So then why do you call it a Shlishi? A Shlishi is just something that touched a Sheni. It touched a Sheni, so it's called a Shlishi. But it doesn't mean that there's really a Shlishi the Tumah. It has no impact. It's Chulin Legamre. It has no impact whatsoever. And that's the reason behind the din over here. The reason why you, when you eat a Shlishi in Chulin Shnasu Atarata Kodesh, you are able to eat Kodesh, is because you didn't eat anything Tameh. There is no such concept as a Shlishi in Chulin Shnasu Atarata Kodesh. Tohar Legamri, or he's Tohar Legamri, it makes no difference. Rashi and Tosafot say the third level in Chulin Shnasu Atarata Kodesh is Pasul. That's the end of the line. The Ramban and the Rashi would say it doesn't even exist. You can't even get there. You can't get past the Sheni. Then that way, the statement here of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marto is parallel to Rabbi Elazar, who started out our sugi over here in bringing Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah, where he says that Rabbi Yeshua holds of Chulin Shnasu Atarata Tumah, that there is such a concept, but Chulin Shnasu Atarata Kodesh, there is no such concept. It doesn't exist. And that's basically what we're saying. Because if you can't get past a Sheni, you're no different than regular Chulin. Chulin ends at Sheni. And now you're telling me that Chulin Shnasu Atarata Kodesh ends at Sheni. That means it's Chulin. Chulin the Gamre. So according to the Ramban and the Rashba, you don't have a new opinion here. You have an opinion that's similar to Rabbi Lazar, which is, there is no such concept as Kulin Shenasu Adorat HaKodesh. According to Rashi and the Ramban, you have a new opinion over here, which is it's an opinion that sits between some of the opinions we saw before. Some who say that there is a full-fledged, at least, Shlishi in Kulin Shenasu Adorat HaKodesh. There's another opinion that doesn't exist at all. There's only Kulin Shenasu Adorat HaKodesh doesn't exist. And I have this middle opinion, which is there is a Shlishi, but it has no impact. If you touch something, it doesn't do anything. If you eat it, it doesn't do anything. The only thing it does is you can't make it into Kodesh. You can't shecht it as a korban. So there is this middle opinion according to Rashi and Tosafot. And then Tosafot afterwards has to try to then explain how that fits into Rabbi Elez and Rabbi Yeshua. It says, Mele, because some Rabbi Yitzhak, the Rabbi Elez and Rabbi Yeshua, lo airi, el b'shlishi shel chulin, shenesu atarata tshuma, shetarata tshuma hi etzela Kodesh. He says, therefore the Mishnah is only speaking about chulin shenasa atarata tshuma, and that's where we have all those dinim. Kulin Shenasu Tarat HaKodesh has a different din, and it wasn't addressed by Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Those are the two ways to learn this. And now we have the following question. Meitiv Rami Bar Chama, Shlishi Sheni LaKodesh. Wait a minute. What about the fact that Rabbi Yoshua in our Mishnah says that a Shlishi in Kulin Shenasu Tarat HaTrumah, at least in the Mishnah, makes it into a Sheni for Kodesh. Ve'ein Sheni LaTrumah. But it doesn't make it a Sheni for Trumah. Bechulin Shenasu Tarat HaTrumah. Amai, why is that the case? Halav Kodesh Mikudashu. You just said to me that the only way you can convey Tumah within the world of Kodesh, to at least make it into a level 4, is a situation in which it comes directly from Kodesh Mikudash. Only in the world of Kodesh does it have impact. If you're coming from outside the world of Kodesh, it should have no impact. Over here you're dealing with a third level Tumah in Chulin Shenasu Atarat HaTrumah. Chulin Shenasu Atarat HaTrumah, third level of Tumah, that should have no impact whatsoever in the world of Kodesh. It's not Kodesh Mikudash. It's not something that's inherently Kodesh that's passing on Tumah to a fourth level. This is something that was Kulin Shenasu Atarat HaTrumah. So Amalei, he answers back to him, Hanech L'Trumah Shetarata Tumahi Etzel HaKodesh. Leave Trumah alone, because Trumah itself has problems with Kodesh in general. Minat Tamra, and how can I show you that? Because it's not the Mishnah that we have in Chagiga, Bigdei Amaretz, Midras Leprushim, that the clothing of an Amaretz is problematic for a Parush, some a Chaver, someone who keeps Tumah Tahara, the Bigdei Amaretz are problematic. Bigdei Prushim, Midras Lochlei Trumah. And even someone who keeps Tumah Tahara, but they only keep it in the world of Chulin, up to a Sheni Tumah, they're problematic for people who are keeping the world of Trumah, of the third level Tumah. Bigdei Ochlei Trumah, Midras the Kodesh. And someone who is Shomer Tumah with regards to Trumah, they are problematic for people who are keeping Tumah in the world of Kodesh. So it shows you that they're silos. Each one of these Tumah and Tahara live in a silo. If you're only maintaining a certain level within that silo, you're not Tahor for the next silo. And Amaris is problematic for a Chaver. A Chaver is problematic for Ochlei Trumah. And Ochlei Trumah are problematic for Kodesh. And similarly over here, the reason that when you're a third level of Tumah, in Chulin Shenasu Atarat HaTrumah, your problem for Kodesh, is not because you can make something into a Revi'i in Kodesh. It's because Trumah is problematic for Kodesh, period. Because Trumah, even if it's kept Tahor, is problematic for Kodesh. The evidence of that is, when he says you're a Shlishi in Chulin Shenasu Atarat HaTrumah, he makes you a Sheni in Kodesh. He doesn't make you into a Revi'i in Kodesh. He makes you into a Sheni in Kodesh. Why did he do that? Explain, Mili Dai Maksha Sabar, the person who's asking the question, his question is deriving from the fact that, oh, here, Chulin Shenasu Atarat HaKodesh makes something problematic in Kodesh. But it doesn't make it in Kodesh problematic or Revi, it makes it a Sheni. So why did, he's got to understand that this is all like Zeret Chachamim. He says, the Sabar, the Taimahu Dauchel Shlishi Sheni Havi. So why does it elevate to a Sheni when you ate a Shlishi, or you touched a Shlishi? Mishum Dekeven Delo Nizhar Lishomro Mili Tameh. Since he didn't make sure that it didn't become Tameh, Billy Gab is Sheni, because he wasn't careful. How did it become a Shlishi? Because he wasn't careful, and it touched a Sheni. Ika the Sfuke Nami Dimanaga Verishon. So now we start to think maybe it also touched a Rishon the Tumah, not just a Sheni the Tumah. So that's why we elevate it back up to a Sheni the Tumah. The Savarka Ula, the Nasu Atarata Kodesh, Nami Shlishi Sheni. And he holds like Ula, who says that in the Mishnah, when it says that it was done, Chulinch Nasu Atarata Trumah, it's Lomui Bai Kamar. Not only in the case of Kodesh is this true, it's also true in the world of Trumah. If you did Chulin Shenasu Atarat HaKodesh, a Shlishi will make a Sheni in Kodesh, just like the way that Chulin Shenasu Atarat HaTrumah does. Belele de Taratashel Trumah Tumahi Etzel Kodesh. He does not think it's driven by the fact that Truma is Tamei for Kodesh. The answer that is given is, no, it's not because it's Chulin Shenasu Atarata Truma, and not because it's Chulin Shenasu Atarata Kodesh, that's why it elevates to a Sheni in Kodesh, it's because Truma is problematic for Kodesh. And that means not only is Chulin Shenasu Atarata Truma would be problematic, according to this, even Truma itself, if you have a Shlishi the Truma, would be problematic for Kodesh, because Truma, in general, is problematic for Kodesh. According to the questioner, the question derives from the fact that you have somebody saying that Chulin Shenasu Atarata Truma, and seemingly, like Ula, it also means Chulin Shenasu Atarata Kodesh, they present the problem for Kodesh. That's the whole question. You telling me that Chulin Shenasu Atarata Kodesh doesn't present a problem for Kodesh, here I'm finding something that does present a problem. Why does it elevate to a Sheni? That's because we think if you weren't careful that it touched a Sheni, and that's why you have a Shlishi here, maybe you also weren't careful that it touched a Rishon. If it touched a Rishon, then it's a Sheni, so that's why in Kodesh we make you a Sheni. But it undermines your whole concept here that you can't create something from Chulin Shenasu Atarata Kodesh in the world of Kodesh. The answer is, it has nothing to do with the Chulin Shenasu Atarata Kodesh. It's all about Truma. And because Truma in its silo is not good enough for Kodesh, so therefore Chulin Shenasu Atarata Truma is what causes the problem by Kodesh. And similarly, Truma itself will also cause a problem for Kodesh. But with Chulin Shenasu Atarata Kodesh, nothing to talk about. It's all Chulin. And there's nothing to speak about in terms of its ability to be Mitameh, something that is Kodesh. There's no concept of Shlishi, and therefore Shlishi won't do anything to Kodesh, because there's no such concept of Chulin Shenasu Atarata Kodesh, at least with regards to Shlishi for the Ramban and the Rashba. For the Baal Tosfot and Rashi, it's a very limited scope of what's considered to be a Shlishi. Now Gemara says, Amar Rava, Midrasot Kamart? Your proof is from Midras? Shiny Midrasot. The Midras is derived from a specific problem, which is Shema Teshev Aleihem Ishto Nida. Our fear is that his wife, who's a Nida, will sit on the clothing and make it Tamei Tumat Midras. Aval Bepeire Lo Amrina. But when you're talking about regular fruits, regular items, stock items, who's going to say that you have something that's in Truma is problematic for Kodesh? That may not be true. It's specific to clothing. And the reason it's specific to clothing is because of this fear that his wife, the Nida, sits on it. They're not makpid. Since they're not so makpid, when his wife, the Nida, sits on it, for the Am Haaretz, for sure, he's not so careful about this. If his wife sits on it, then she's going to be mitameyit, because that's midras Nida, and that's going to give it a high level of tuma, and that's going to cause problems for you. Then we instituted also, that's the same for each of the silos, that even though you're shomer tuma and tara with regards to truma, and you're careful that your wife, the Nida, doesn't sit on any of these items because you're careful about that, nevertheless, for the world of Kodesh, that's not sufficient. And the Baal HaTosfot will point out over here that the Am Haaretz inherently doesn't have this problem. We don't assume that the Am Haaretz, if he comes into contact with your items or touches them, that automatically it's got to have the Tuma, like the Am Haaretz has this Tuma of Midras. That's not true. It's only the fear that his wife is going to sit on it that creates this problem. And he says there's a Takanat Chachamim, that an Ovik Chachamim and Am Haaretz, that Sinoradu, any of their fluid emissions, like if they spit, their saliva, that has a din like a zav. They were goes there that it's like a zav. But they were not goes there on the contact or the touching of an Am Haaretz that would be like a zav. So Tosfot says, why should you differentiate? If you think the Am Haaretz is a zav for spinning, why don't you call him a zav for touching? And then why do you need this whole problem about his wife sitting on the clothing? So Tosfot says something amazing. He says, you have to have a gzeira that rovat zibor yocholim lamod bo. Avoiding the saliva, the spit, or the liquids of an Am Haaretz is a reasonable thing to do. And therefore, they designated all his liquids as if he's a Zav, in case he is a Zav. But when it comes to coming into contact with an Am Haaretz, it would make living untenable. You can't have no interactions with them. You can't not have contact with them. And therefore, they would not go there on the contact of an Am Haaretz, that it be Tamei to the point like a Zav, and that would ruin everything. Then you would never be able to interact with them. The only thing they did is the clothing, where there's a real chashash that his wife sat on it, where there could be real Tumah and Tumah Doraita on it. Over there, they were gozer that all the clothing of an Am Haaretz is midras for a chaver. For a chaver's clothing is midras for truma, and truma is midras for kodesh. So Rava says this is a limited scope takana, which is that it's only about clothing because of this specific problem, the kashash that the wife of the Am Haaretz would sit on it, or the wife of the chaver would sit on it, or the wife of the ochlei truma would sit on it, and that'd be problematic for those that eat at a higher level of tara. But as far as peirot, which is what our discussion is over here, there's no such distinction. And the way Rashi explains it is, sitting on the clothing, that's tuma mitsuya. By peirot, ein tumatan mitsuya. So there, Tumah is not so common. And therefore, the Shmira for Truma, Shmira for Kodesh. The Rabbi Yitzchak, Peperi Nami Amar. Rabbi Yitzchak says it applies to Peirot as well. It's mentioned by Midras, but it has impact even by Peirot. So along comes Rabbi Yitzchak and says they've never made such a distinction. All things within their silos are Tahor for their silo, but they're Tamei for the next silo. And that would explain then the position of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marto, that when it comes to Kulin Shnasua Terata Kodesh, it has no impact on Kodesh whatsoever. Now the Gemara says, Meitiv Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti, Umi Aminan Beperot. Do we really believe that by Peirot, that is the case? Vat not. Im Amar, if an Amaretz says, Hifrashti L'Tochav Revi'it Kodesh, Ne'eman. An Amaretz is believed with regards to Kodesh that he was Shomeret B'Tahara. The reason given in the Gemara is, Emnu Rabbanan, Rabbanan believed him, Kadesh Lo Yeh Kol Echad Oleich U'Bone Bama Le'atzmo, V'Sareif Parah Duma Le'atzmo. Our fear is, if you don't trust people with regards to Kodesh, then everybody's going to be building their own Mikdash, doing their own Parah Duma, because nobody's going to trust anyone else. So you have to create a certain amount of mutual trust amongst people, so that when it comes to bringing things in the Mikdash, it wouldn't be this whole problem. I don't trust your Hefsher, you don't trust my Hefsher, and then everybody's going to be doing their own thing, and you'd never ever have cooperation in dealing with the Mikdash, and allowing people to come and serve and bring things to the Mikdash. So in order to prevent that problem, we say in Kodesh, Amei Aretz are careful about it. We're going to assume that they're careful. They know it's a significant issue that has come to Mikdash, and they're careful about it. Now, with regards to Truma, that's not necessarily the case. Bishata Gitot, which means at the time they're pressing, the Amei Aretz are careful about it because they know other people are around. Everybody's watching. Everybody's doing the same thing. So they make sure to process it B'tahara. But after the Zman HaGitot goes by, they're not as careful, and therefore the wine of the Amaretz, or produce of the Amaretz, now has problems with it in terms of Tumah. So during the Gitot, the Tumah is fine, Bitara, from the Amaretz. After the Gitot, it doesn't have that status. Kodesh, on the other hand, is not just okay during the Regel, it's okay all year round. We assume that this individual is Shomer Bitara. So if the Amaretz says, I put in a Revi'it of Kodesh into it, he's Ne'eman. V'lo kametamele truma the kodesh. We don't assume that the truma makes the kodesh tamei. V'yamart tarata truma he eats la kodesh. You're telling me that truma is problematic for kodesh, then tamei truma la kodesh. The kodesh should be ruined by the truma. What's being said over here is if the Amaretz separates out something to tarata kodesh, and that's mixed together with truma, then not only is he believed with regards to the kodesh, he's also believed with regards to the truma. He wouldn't have mixed them together unless he kept the Truma, Bikdusha. And so now when he puts in the Kodesh, we believe him by the Kodesh. And we go that we believe him by the Kodesh, we also believe him by the Truma. But if you're telling me that Truma and Kodesh run in different silos, and that means that if something is good enough for Truma, it's not good enough for Kodesh, then when he mixed the Kodesh into the Truma should have ruined the Kodesh. It should have automatically made it Tamei, not the other way around. It shouldn't be that the Kodesh elevated the Truma to give it that status of Taharah. I mean, the other way around. The Truma should have ruined the Kodesh when it was put in there. Because you're telling me that this silo exists even in the world of fruits. Now, once it's mixed together, how exactly do you deal with it? Now you have Truma and Kodesh mixed together. The Baal HaTosafot say, B'yish Lamar al-Dei Breira. You do it through Breira. Shumar revit shani atid afrish, yehei Kodesh. He does it not in the sense that he is Makdish something and he has Truma there. But he says, within this unit that has a chatzilog in it, a revi'it that I'm going to take off in the future will be for Truma, and a revi'it that I'm going to take off in the future will be for Kodesh. So now he's got Kodesh and Truma mixed together, but they're not literally mixed together because he says, I'm only going to take them out in the future, and that will determine which one's Kodesh and which part is Truma, so it won't be a mu'urevet. But nevertheless, now you have Kodesh and Truma together, and according to you, that should not be sustainable. That should be something that automatically becomes Tameh. Amalei, Tuma b'chiburim kamart, Tuma b'chiburim shiny. Wait a minute, you're talking about Tuma, which is coming through being joined together, because being joined together, shiny. That's different. The Migo, the Mehemen HaKodesh, Mehemen Namiya Truma. Because since he's believed on the Kodesh, he's believed on the Truma. He says this is a unique case. This is a case not where you have Truma kept separately and Kodesh kept separately. And then eventually the Truma touches the Kodesh. In Ochanami, there you'd have a problem. That would be classified as Tuma. Because Truma is not good enough for Kodesh. Over here, he mixed them literally together. Chiburim over here is not in the classic sense of tumah v'chiburim, which is that tumah is conveyed when they are touching, only when they're touching, not when they're separated. But here it means chiburim that they're in a single unit. They're mixed together. And since they're mixed together, if you're going to believe him about the Kodesh, you got to believe him about the Trumah, because he holds the Kodesh to a much higher level, and that's a unique case. That unique case is the exception to the rule, but otherwise the rule is that Trumah will be problematic for Kodesh. Now the Gemara says, Meiti Rabuna Bar Natan. Now I have another question. Hasheni Shebechulin, Mitame Mashke, Chulin, Uposel Ochle Trumah, Vashlishi. Mitame mashke kodesh uposel ochle kodesh bechulin shenasu altarata kodesh. So this is in a series of Mishnayot in Perek Bet and Tarot. We already dealt with Mishnah Bet, Mishnah Gimel. There are a continuing series of Mishnayot there, each one getting into a deeper level of Tuma. In the first one speaks about Kulin and Rishon and Sheni. The next one speaks about Truma and speaks about a Sheni and then its impact. And the next one speaks about Kodesh. So here we have this concept. If you are a second level Tumah of Chulin, you affect a Mashke. Now, Mashke is because we learned yesterday, anytime you touch a liquid, it automatically elevates to be a Rishon the Tumah. Mitame Mashke Chulin, it becomes a first level of Tumah. Uposel, and a Sheni is Posel Ochle Trumah. Those that eat Trumah, it's going to cause a problem for them, because there is a Shlishi in Trumah, and so therefore it's going to be Posel, somebody who eats Truma, because it's second level Truma and Chulin, and that has impact when you get to a Shlishi in Truma. Vashlishi, if you have third level of Truma, Mitame Mashke Kodesh, it's going to affect a Mashke Kodesh, meaning that it will elevate a Mashke Kodesh to a Rishon, and this might be a separate Takana, that by Mashke Kodesh, not only are you affected by a Sheni, but even if you're affected by a Shlishi, it elevates it up to a Rishon. Or this might be part of that original Gzeirah, that all liquids rise to a Rishon L'tumah. Uposel Ochle Kodesh, and it also affects someone who eats Kodesh, because now you have a third level Tumah. In Kodesh, there is a Revi'i of Tumah. So if there's a Revi'i of Tumah, if you're a Shlishi, then that's going to affect someone who's eating Kodesh, because there's a fourth level of Tumah. And what are we speaking about over here? How do you have a Chulin that is a third level? Chulin shenasu atarat kodesh. That's chulin shenasu atarat kodesh. That indicates that there is a third level of tum'ah for chulin shenasu atarat kodesh. According to you, you just told me that there is no such thing as a shlishi in chulin shenasu atarat kodesh. From the Ramban and the Rashba, it's a direct question. You said it doesn't exist. Over here, the Braita clearly says it does exist. Or for the Balei Tosfot and Rashi, it's a more indirect question, which is, you said it's not full-fledged Shlishi. It has this one unique aspect about it that makes it problematic, but otherwise it's not really a Shlishi. Over here you have a Braita saying it's a full-fledged Shlishi. And if you're eating Kodesh, you're affected by a Shlishi in Chulin Shenasu Atarat Kodesh. Whereas you told me you're not affected by it. It doesn't affect Kodesh at all. So Tanayehi, it is a Machloket Tanayim. Titanya, we have a Braita, Chulin Shenasu Atarat Kodesh, Arehein Chulin. If you have Chulin that are done Atarat Kodesh, they are Chulin. It doesn't exist. It has first and second level Tumah, that's it. They have a din of Chulin. There's no such concept as Chulin, Shenasu Atarat HaKodesh. It ends like the same levels of Chulin. B'lazib Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Harein Kit Shumah. They are like Shumah, the Tamei Shnayim, V'lip Sol Echad. They're just like by Shumah. There's two levels of Tamei, and one level of Psul. So too over here, you have the same thing. If you have a Rishon and Sheni, that's Tamei, and a Shlishi is Posel, Venu Tamei Lasot Revi. So he says there's up to a third level of Tumah in Chulin Shenasu Atarat HaKodesh, but there is no fourth level in terms of Chulin Shenasu Atarat HaKodesh. So in that way you now have what seemingly is a three-way machloket as to what the status of Chulin Shenasu Atarat HaKodesh is. You have the view of the Tana Kama, who says that Chulin Shenasu Atarat HaKodesh is Chulin the Gamre. It says only a Rishon and a Sheni. Then there's the view that we brought before of Rav Yitzchak, who suggested that there is a view that when it comes to a Shlishi beChulin Shenasu Atarat HaKodesh, it has limited scope. Which, as Rashi points out, will be like the view of Rav Elazar beRav Tzadok, who says there is a Shlishi, but a Shlishi of limited scope. And then you have the Tana of the Braita that Rav Huna Bar Natan brought, who says that there is a Shlishi in Chulin Shenasu Atarat HaKodesh, a full-fledged Shlishi. There's just no Revi'i in Chulin Shinaseh Altarata Kodesh. And then you have three-way machloket as to what the status of Chulin Shinaseh Altarata Kodesh is. This Braita brings two opinions, one of which is Chulin the Gamre, and one of which is it goes into a Shlishi. The only question is what we said before a third opinion or the same opinion? The Ramban and the Rashba believe that also before they believe there's no such thing as a Shlishi, and therefore it's the Tanakam over here.
If that's the case, then Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok could be identical with the position of the Tana that Rav Huna Bar Natan brought in the Braita, and then there'd be only two opinions. Either there is a Shlishi, or there isn't a Shlishi.
If you believe, like Rashi and Tosfot before, that there's this in-between position, which is this position that it's quasi-Shlishi, I mean, it's a Shlishi for some things, but it doesn't affect Kodesh, and therefore it's the Rabbi Elazar B'Rabbi Tzadok, then you actually have a third opinion that
there is a Shlishi in Chulin Tarata Kodesh, and that would be the Tano of the Braita of Rav Huna Bar Natan.
Everybody agrees that there is no Rivi'i with regards to Chulin Shinasu Tarata Kodesh. The only question is, do you have a Rishon and Sheni only? Do you have a Rishon, Sheni, and Shlishi? And according to Rashi and Tosafot, there's also a Rishon, Sheni in a modified Shlishi. According to Ramban and Rashba, that modified Shlishi means there is no Shlishi at all, and he's similar to the Tanakama that's over here. So either you have two or three opinions as to what the status of Chulin Shinasu Atarata Kodesh is, but everybody seems to agree that there is no Rivi'i in Chulin Shinasu Atarata Kodesh. If you do think there's a Rivi'i, it's in Kodesh itself. It's a question of whether there's a Shlishi here that impacts a Rivi'i in Kodesh, not in Chulin Shinasu Atarat HaKodesh. Now we move back to our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon said, Hukshru Bishchita. If you have a dry Shchita, the Chachamim say there's no Hefshah the Kabbal Tumah, because there's no liquid over here. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says, even absent the liquid, the Shchita itself generates the Hefshah that you need over here. And as Rashi explains, that's because just like the Shchita is Matir the Basar Ba'achila, so too, it makes the ochel into something that can be mikabel tuma. Amar Rav Asi, Omer haya Rabbi Shimon, shkitato makhsheret velo dam. That shkita works and not dam. If the animal is mukshar yadei the shkita, then it really doesn't make any difference with regards to the blood. And the real nafkamina is with regards to other items. The blood falls on other ochlim or zraim. Is it makhsheret? Because they don't have that aspect of shkita to be makhsheret. Lema misayile. Let's say this is supportive of what Rav Asi is suggesting over here. Shimon Omer, Hukshar b'shchita. That it says here that the shchita is makshirit, the kabbal tumah. Maila b'shchita velo b'dam. Sounds like from here that only shchita does it, but the dam doesn't do it. Omer says, well, they don't have to read it that way. Af b'shchita. That's what it means over here. Also shchita works. He's not denying the fact that dam works to be makshir the animal, but shchita also works without the dam. Tashma, Amar Lehem Rabbi Shimon, b'chidam makshir. Hello, shchita makhsheret. Again, there it sounds like, you think dam works? Shchita does it. So again, it sounds like he's saying dam doesn't work. Shchita does work. This is what he's saying to the chachamim. B'chi dam bilvad makhshir? You think dam alone is the only thing that can be makhshir? Av shchita nami makhsheret. So too, shchita is makhsheret. Tashma. Rabbi Shimon Omer, dam amet eino makhshir. Dam amet isn't makhshir. My love, hadam shchita makhshir. So from there, the diuk is the other way around, which sounds like, dam of shchita is makshir. Where it says, no, hadam chalalim makshir. No, dam of chalalim is makshir, but dam shchita mai. So then what's the status of dam shchita? Lo makshir. It's not makshir. Lishmeina dam shchita. If dam shchita is not makshir, koshkein dam amet. Dam amet then of course wouldn't be makshir, so why are you telling us about dam amet? Tell us about dam shchita that it's not makshir, and then we would have known dam amet isn't makshir. Dam chalalim is makshir. Where it says, dam amet it's trikolei. The dam of a mate we need. Sakadat kamina malikatle ihu malikatle malachamovit. What does it make a difference whether you kill it or whether the malachamovit kills it? It should have the same din. That dam of a mate should be no different than dam chalalim. So that would have been your havamina, and therefore it should be makshir the kabbal tumah. Kamash malon that even dam of a mate doesn't have a din like dam chalalim. Tashma Rabbi Shimon Omer dam migafto. If you have dam from an injury, enu makshir. My love hadam shkita makshir. You would have been medayek, that's only a dam from a wound that is not makshir, but dam of shkita would be makshir. Lo, hadam chalalim makshir. Means that a dam from a wound is not makshir, but dam chalalim is makshir. About dam shkita mai, so then what's the status of dam shkita? Lo makshir? If it's not makshir, lashmina dam shkita. Because again, dam migavto says, if that's the case, just tell me about dam shkita, and I would have known that a wound clearly is not makshir. If shkita doesn't create a mahekshir, the kabbal tumah,
And certainly a wound won't create a dam that's makshir. Dam igifto, strikale, a dam from a wound I need, sakadat kamina, malikat le kula, malikat le palko. What's the difference between fully killing the animal and partially killing the animal? If you say dam chalalim is makshir, that's a full killing of the animal. So a wound is just a step in that direction. So why shouldn't it be that that dam is also makshir? So that's the kamash malan, that it is different, and that dam migifto is not makshir. Dam shkita is not makshir. Dam chalalim is makshir. And dam amet is not makshir. You have three areas where it's not makshir, which is dam shkita, dam migifto, and dam mate. But dam chalalim is the only thing that is makshir. And the Gemara here will search for the source of it right now. Rashi reads all this dealing with this entire sequence in the Gemara referring to animals. Blood that is emanating from an animal. And dam amet is dam of a behema that died natural causes. It died a natural death. Dama chalalim is something shenehergah. It's an animal that was killed rather than dying a natural death. So that'd be dam chalalim. And then dam shchita, in the end we say only dam chalalim is makshir. We'll have to understand why that is. Dam shchita and dam mita are no different. They're both not makshir. But nevertheless, you have here three different categories. You have a category of dam amet, you have a category of dam chalalim, and you have a category of dam shchita. What we're trying to figure out is what's Rabbi Shimon's view with regards to dam shchita. How does he view dam shchita? Rav Asi makes a statement that he only thinks shchita works. He doesn't think dam shchita works. We tried to bring evidence either in favor or against that. And each time we've dismissed it and said that may not be true. Might be that dam shchita is not makshir or is makshir. We can't determine from the sources that we are bringing. The Balei HaTosafot here bring from the Rabbeinu Tam. And the Rabbeinu Tam has numerous questions on this view of Rashi. And he says that a dam migafto, a dam from a wound, from an animal, not only does Rabbi Shimon think it's not makshir, even the Rabbanan agree it's not makshir. And he says, I don't really understand how you can say this is all topically relevant by behema. None of this seems to be true in the other sources we find. It says, v'kach nir l'Rabbeinu Tam, d'kula shmaita ayri b'adam. That this entire sequence over here is speaking about a person. D'shayach mei dam chalalim v'lo b'behema. Because dam chalalim is a reference to a person who's killed, not to a animal who is killed. And therefore, he suggests over here that the entire sequence here was dealing with Adam and not Behema. And they're trying to bring proof from Adam and Medayik out of the statements that are made about Dam Adam to that of Dam Behema. And each time we reject that inference and say that, no, you can make an alternate inference. But nevertheless, he thinks it's speaking about Dam Adam. Rashi thinks it's speaking about Dam Behema. You only need Hefshu the Kabul Tumah for things that are not inherently Tameh, because then you need to be Makshir them as Ochlim to be Makabul Tumah Tochlim. Things like a human being or a Nevela that have inherent Tumah to them, they don't need Hefshu the Kabul Tumah, because they are Tameh anyway. They're what's called Tumah Chamura, and they don't need Hefshu. The Hefshu is really focused on things that are Ochlim. And so therefore, by a behema that you shechted, it could be Makshir itself, because it's an Ochel. It's not Tameh, Tumah Nevela when you shecht it, and therefore you need something to Makshir it itself. For human beings, obviously, that's not the case. It would only be their dam falling on something else that's an ochel. That would have to be makshir, the kabul tuma. And similarly, the dam of behema could be about itself or about any other item. It's ochel that you're trying to be makshir, the kabul tuma. Now the Gemara says, smaishna dam chalalim de makshir. So what is this unique aspect of dam chalalim that it is makshir, according to Rabbi Shimon, and nothing else is makshir? Dichtiv, b'dam chalalim yishteh. Because the pasuk says that dam chalalim, the dam of those ne'arag, yishteh, they will drink. It is a part of the prose of Bil'am. But what you see here is dam chalim is treated like a liquid. So then if it's treated like a liquid, then it has the status of something that can be makshir, the kabul tuma. Anything that the yad shachat dam, which are the seven liquids that can be makshir, it's all because they have the same status as mayim. How do you get the same status as mayim? If the pasuk tells you that it is something like mayim. Dam chalim yishteh treats dam chalalim like shtiyah, like something that you would drink, treats it like mayim. So that's why it's makshir the kabul tumah. Dam shchita namiktiv. Wait a minute, by dam shchita it says, ala aretz tishpechenu kamayim, that you will spill it on the floor like water. If that's the case, then it's also treated like a liquid. Why isn't it makshir? Why isn't dam shchita makshir just the way that dam chalalim is makshir? How old mishrei damand dipsulei mikdashim? Bahana hudata. That's coming to be matir the dam of Psulei HaMikdashim. That pasuk is written in the context where the Sifrei says it's talking about Psulei HaMikdashim, something that was Kodesh, got a mum in it, and then was redeemed. What's the status of the animal that's redeemed? It's Chulin for a number of items. It's Kodesh for other items. It comes to tell you that the dam of Psulei HaMikdashim is Mutar Bahana, Because I would have thought, because the psulei muktashim are asur in shearing them, and they are asur to do work for them. That's because the pasuk says tizbach, that you will shecht it, you can eat it, velo gizah, but not use its shearings. Meaning that you can only eat basar psulei muktashim. So now Rashi quotes over another statement which Tosfot really focuses on, which says basar velo chalav. You can also only eat the flesh, the meat of such an animal. You can't use it for its milk. So there you see that there's an Isser Hanah. And as Tosfot points out, you can't learn this from the Isser of Gizah and Avodah. You can only learn that from the Isser of Basar and not Chalav. That you're allowed to eat the meat of Suleiman Tashim, you're not allowed to eat the Chalav. Which shows you that liquids that are internal to the animal are Asurim Behana'ah. And Tosfot gives two reasons to the logic. Either one is just like Chalav is something that you drink, and it's asur b'hanah. So too, blood is something that they ate, and therefore it's asur b'hanah, even though people don't always eat it, and we're restricted from eating it. Nevertheless, there are people who eat it, and therefore it's restricted b'hanah. You would have thought it's restricted b'hanah, covered under basar velo chalav. Or he says, inami, that we came into chamech chumir Torah kokach. Since the Torah was so machmir that you can only eat the basar and not the chalav, ro'oi lidrosh nami basar velo dam. Therefore, it's ro'oi to say that it's basar and not the dam as well. Meaning that the dam would be asur b'hanah. That'd be your hava min over here. And even though the part of the pasuk that they quote, or the lima they quote over here, isn't the relevant part, asurim b'gizim avodah, it's like dot, dot, dot. And it means that basar velo chalav, which is the most important part of it, that you can't eat the meat of psulei kadoshim, not the chalav. And if you can't eat the chalav, you certainly can't eat, or you can't get hanah from the dam, for one of the two reasons that we just said in the Tosafot. So that's why, daman libayi kvura. You would have thought their blood should need burial, because it's asur b'hanah. Kamash Malan. That's what the Pasuk is coming to teach us, that Al Aretz Tishpachenu Kamayim, it's full-fledged Hana'ah. The dam is open to Hana'ah from you. You can do what you want with it. That means you can let it flow on the ground. That means that you don't have to bury it. You can get Hana'ah from it. You can do whatever you want with it. But it doesn't mean that it has the status of Mayim to be Makshir the Kabul Tumah. It's a specific het there by Psulam HaKadoshim, because you would have thought otherwise it was Asur. So it's coming to be Matir the Asur, not coming to tell you that it's Makshir the Kabul Tumah. Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. V'dam chalalim ishteh, prat v'dam kiluach, she'enu makshir et hazra'im. When it says here, dam chalalim ishteh, that comes to exclude dam kiluach, the dam that shoots out. She'enu makshir et hazra'im, that does not makshir the zra'im. It has to be the dam chalalim. And Rashi over here says, v'tchila adam shoteit v'tipachat u'shtayim. At first, blood begins to drip out. V'achar kach mikaleach, and then it starts to shoot out, it starts to pump out. In the first, the wound or the injury of the cut or the killing causes a small amount of bleeding. Then the pumping blood that's still going on in the animal then starts to shoot out. And then afterwards it darkens and becomes black. That's the deoxidized blood. And now, that point, that's when the life force is leaving the animal. And that's called the dam chalalim, which is mitipa hamashcheret ve'elech. That's from the part that's darker. When the blood starts to be deoxidized blood and darker, that point onwards, that's called the dam hanefesh, or the dam chalalim, and that's where it's makshir the kabel tuma. But dam kiluach is not dam hanefesh, and that's not something that is considered to be something that's makshir the kabel tuma, because it's not dam chalalim. So that's Rashi's explanation. The Baal Tosafot of here spend a lot of time explaining this, and they say that the tipa shemashcheret comes earlier than Rashi suggests over here. It comes even before the kiluach. There's first some red blood, then there's darker blood, then there's the kiluach. And that's what he says, that's the darkened blood is the dama nefesh, but not the kiluach. And the dama kiluach is actually where the nefesh goes out. And the Baal Tosafot say the reason the dama kiluach is not dam chalalim is because of exactly that. The nefesh is going out with the dama kiluach. And dam chalalim is the dam that comes out post the death of the animal. As opposed to Rashi, who thinks that it's the blood that the nefesh is yotzah with, that's considered to be dam kiluach. In the end, they're speaking about the same blood, they just term it differently. And the Baal Tosafot point out that vis-a-vis dam shchita, the dam hakiluach is the dam hashchita, and that's why dam hashchita would not be makshir, because it's not dam chalalim. All right, we're going to stop here, four lines down on the top of Lamed Vav, Amud Aleph.